My spouse, Guta, and I have been praying for a Muslim family for about 10 days. I mentioned them last week or the week before, I can't remember. They're staying with us right now. And what happened to them, for those of you who weren't here, what happened is they were traveling here from India on vacation, and it was one of those life things, you know, you save your money for a long time to go on a big grand trip. And the patriarch had a stroke. And so dad is in the ICU, and mom and the two kids, adult kids, a son and a daughter are staying with us, and they take turns sleeping at our house and keeping vigil at the hospital. So first, when we were kind of negotiating the arrangement, they said to us, well, can we cook at night? Because it's almost Ramadan. And so, you know, we need to cook after 9 o'clock at night. You may know that Muslims fast during Ramadan. They don't eat or drink during any daylight hours, and so then they break their fast and have a sort of family meal at night. So we said, sure, you can cook at night. And then they said, would you pray for our father? His name is Salim. So we said, yes, of course we'll pray for him. But how? Church, how would you pray for him? Right? I mean, would you pray for him to start following Jesus? Would you pray for him to come and join in the church? Change their religion? What do you think? So anyway, I'm reading all the readings today, for today, and I recognized the situation in several of them. Well, I recognized the church situation. St. Paul had advice. But anyway, I also felt I recognized the situation in the Hebrew Bible reading and the gospel reading, praying for foreigners and praying for guests. And in the Hebrew Bible, or our Old Testament reading, when King Solomon built the temple, which is God's house, Solomon knows that foreigners will come and visit. And so he is praying to God about that situation in the presence of all the people. Well, I mean, good heavens. Of course he knows foreigners are going to come to visit, not only just because people travel, but also because the Queen of Sheba has been with her whole entourage coming from Africa to come and visit Solomon's court. And he had hundreds of foreign wives and concubines. That was how the man lived. And we knew that foreigners were coming, and we knew that he welcomed them because he married a whole heck of a lot of them. So, but the remarkable thing about Solomon in today's reading, it said that they weren't coming because of his great wealth, and they weren't coming because of his reputation for wisdom to get his counsel about their lives. They were coming to the temple because of God's reputation, because of God's name, because of God's power. And so Solomon prays, when a foreigner who's not of your people comes from a distant land because of God's name, because they're going to hear of your great name, God, your mighty hand and your outstretched arm, which is a kind of culturally appropriate way to talk about God's power. They're going to hear about your power, God, then hear them. Solomon says to God, do as they ask. Answer their prayers. He's modeling hospitality for us. He's teaching us how to pray for our foreign neighbors and colleagues at work and guests and acquaintances and people we run into in shops. He's teaching us how to pray for them. Pray for what they want, is what Solomon says. So anyway, I mentioned the folks staying with us for a couple reasons, because we weren't praying for them to change their religion or follow Jesus. We were just praying for God to heal him, this gentleman, because that's what his family was praying for when they went to mosque on Friday, you know, and so we were praying for him. And then secondly, I mentioned, because I told you that story, and he woke up this week, so he was in ICU in a coma, and he opened his eyes, and he sat up, and he got out of ICU and started rehab. So God heard our prayers together, which is amazing, and is marvelous when God answers our prayers. And who knows? I know some of you, I expect some of you were praying for him also. So the family asked us to pray for Salim's healing, and we did. And we trust that God hears our prayers and hears theirs. There's a Christian preacher coming to town this summer in a couple weeks. There's a Christian preacher who's kind of famous. He's got a national reputation. His name is Franklin Graham. And you may or may not have heard of Franklin Graham, but I feel confident that some of you have heard of Billy Graham, who was his father. So Billy Graham really had a national reputation. He was an evangelical and an evangelist, and he actually did some good things to transform evangelicalism and include some social concerns in it. But anyway, Franklin Graham has organized a tour, and he's calling it Decision America. You can Google it, Decision America Tour. And what Franklin wants is for us to pray that America turns and rejects foreigners and turns away Muslims particularly, and by the way, make sure no gay people are around. And so he's getting ready to come to Madison in about 2 weeks, and he phoned as he's getting ready, or maybe his staff, probably his staff phoned, and so they phoned Grace, which is the last Christian church on the Capitol Square. Grace Episcopal Church. So they phoned Grace and said, can we do our tour at Grace? And Grace said, no. Then they phoned again and they asked, can Decision America come to Grace? you know, what would you do? I also recognize guidance for this life situation in the text, the story from Jesus. Because that day, Jesus was just going around his business. He wasn't like King Solomon, hosting large numbers of foreigners and marrying some of them. Jesus, he was just going about his business, and he had been teaching the Sermon of the Mount. It says he just, after all these things, or so the reading said something like that. So what he was teaching was the Sermon on the Mount. And he was just teaching normal Christian stuff. Right? Normal Christian things. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the hungry, because God will feed them. Blessed are you if people reject you because you follow the name of Jesus. Love your enemies. Normal Christian teachings. Do good to people that persecute you. And give to everyone who begs from you. Do not judge. Do not condemn. Forgive. Be generous. Speak well of others. So this is the stuff Jesus was teaching. You can read it. It's in Luke just before our reading today. You know, it's the Sermon on the Mount. And it's kind of an overview of Christian practice at that time. So Jesus is teaching all of that, and a Jewish intermediary comes up and asks him, will you please heal this Roman centurion, who is not only a military man occupying their country, but also he was clearly foreign, and he was clearly of a different religion, and Jesus does heal the man's servant. Slave, not exactly like the type of slavery that America practiced, but so anyway, I recognized some guidance in that reading, and last week when the Franklin Graham's tour called repeatedly about using Grace Church for his event, Father Jonathan said no repeatedly, and then finally, because he has to be out of town on the actual day, he called me and said, would you organize something alternative to this other event? And I said, sure. And I interacted with my active colleagues, and we decided it needs to be an interfaith event. It needs to be an interfaith event. And so I did the work of finding intermediaries, because I don't happen to know the rabbi at the biggest temple in town, and I certainly have not met the imam at the biggest mosque in town. So I found intermediaries this week, and they went to reach out to them and ask them to be a part of this event that I'm organizing at Grace. And so Rabbi Bayach is coming, and Sheikh Al-Haji is coming from the mosque, and then pastor, to talk about neighbors. Rabbi Bayach will talk about neighbors in Judaism, and Sheikh Al-Haji will talk about neighbors in Islam, and then Pastor Stephen Marsh, our neighbor just down the street, is going to come, and he's going to tell us that Jesus taught all of Christianity can be summed up in this little saying, love God, love your neighbor as yourself. Kind of basic stuff. So you can come. It'll be educational, and I'll get the details later, but June 15, noon, at Grace. So anyway, King Solomon asked God to listen and answer prayers for international guests and international immigrants, and Jesus healed the immigrant slave. But why? Why did they do that? The story gives us some interesting details, because The intermediaries who go to Jesus point out that the centurion was a major donor, right? And they point out that he was a major donor, and they point out that he loved the Jewish people. So there are some possible motivations, but Jesus doesn't say anything about love or money. He praises the man's belief. Jesus praises the man's trust in God. I tell you, not even in Israel have I seen such faith. And I expect, because of the amount of love Jesus had in his own heart, now, it was possibly a different faith. The man certainly hadn't converted to Judaism because he respected the fact that Jesus, as a devout, practicing Jew, might not want even to come to dinner. So he respected that. Jesus might not want to go to his house. You know, when we have, that's just part of Judaism. Keeping Jewish and Gentile people separate was part of the Jewish practice at that time. And still, frankly, when we have Jewish people over for dinner, we're real careful about the menu. Usually we serve fish, because if they're keeping kosher, that whole business of meat and milk is really tricky stuff. And so usually we serve fish. And if it's a big event, we just put little, you know, fancy cards. Here's all the ingredients so people can decide for themselves, which is helpful when it's multicultural, but anyway, or interfaith. We don't know what religion the centurion practiced. And don't ask me if the Muslims in my house pray to the same God or a different God. Just don't ask me that. It's way outside my pay grade. Our scriptures, the Quran and the Bible, are quite different. They have different ideas. You know, which is why I intend to learn more about Islam on June 15. Even the Jewish interpretation of Torah and our way of reading the Old Testament are quite different, so it's going to be helpful to me. But what we do know is this. We know King Solomon told us there would be days when international folks come in God's house, and he asked God to listen to them and to answer their prayers, not ours for them. Their own prayers, what they want, what they need. And the other thing we know is that Jesus today both healed an immigrant slave and praised the one who came asking. Perhaps you and I can go and live that way too. Amen.